Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Asala with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 13th of May, the 134th day of 2024, with 232 days remaining on our way to 2025. This past week, a mix of sunshine and occasional rain showers prompted landscape colors to pop free from any remnant winter tawniness and to fully unfurl into mid-spring greenery with all its assorted pastel shades. Performing various outdoor chores, I had no fewer than a half dozen encounters with probably as many different species of Maine's common wild bees. In other words, successively, each wild bee did not look entirely the same as the one I had previously escorted off my hat or glove or jacket and subsequently launched into the great beyond. All were almost half asleep, drowsy at best, and obviously just beginning to emerge from their somnambulance in the prior season, and I wondered how successful we humans would be in 2024 attempting to show some concern by not mowing in May. No-mow May, that is, not mowing in May, seems a worthy goal. Sure, we'll accordingly need to ratchet up our anti-tick measures, as those opportunistic little parasites will appreciate the advantages of long, tall grasses, but we should always be looking for ways to improve our anti-tick gear and strategies anyway. In America, however, some deeply entrenched misinformation has us continuing to place deadly practices ahead of respect for nature. Rachel Carson's factually laden Silent Spring, published 62 years ago, laid out the basics. From the title onward, the use of pesticides and herbicides and engaging in a variety of other harmful practices that collectively attack the flora and fauna of our country has become highly successful at killing off a multitude of species. Not only the targeted ones, but also those we have come to call collateral damage. Yet another in a growing list of banal euphemisms, calculated and manipulative obfuscations meant to distract us from the severity of situations. Alternatively, along the river's edge at our esker, my girlfriend and I call Terra Plen, Spanish for the embankment, we let much of the riparian zone there take its own natural course. At the moment, ostrich ferns, known to most of us as fiddleheads, are springing forth, as are a few wild roses here and there, harbingers of nature's reliability. For I was with a rose blossom once, a fragrant fortune of equal proportion, overwhelming in any aspect. Choose but one angle to swoon, the figure was you. And the galaxy, those which were your hair, eyes, magnetic lips, singularly I cite the wetness of your anxiety, in early and late, an oasis in this desert of personalities that waits as if for the strength of your wind. Those verses have half a century on them now, yet they remain ever bordered in the bracken and other flora of my youth. Heavenward, this evening in the western sky between sunset and midnight, our waxing crescent moon, replete with an earthshine glow, will lie about midway between the golden star Capella in the constellation Auriga, the charioteer, to the right, and the bright red supergiant star Betelgeuse in the constellation Orion the Hunter to the left. Today in 1609, Pope Boniface I repurposed the Pantheon in Rome as a Catholic church. Today in 1607, English colonists led by John Smith established Jamestown at a second landing near the James River in Virginia. And today in 1918, the first U.S. airmail stamps, costing 24 cents each, were issued. Today in 1950 in Saginaw, Michigan, Stevland Morris Hardaway Judkins was born blind, but by the time he was 10 years of age, he had mastered the piano, bongos, guitar, and harmonica, and by the time he was 12, he was working in Motown, becoming a rhythm and blues singing star, quickly making it to the top 40 with tunes such as I Was Made to Love Her, My Cherie Amour, and Uptight, among many others. Stevie Wonder has been modest about his success, saying, "How can you even think of being conceited, with the universe as large as it is?" Today is also the birthday in 1842 of British comic opera composer Arthur Sullivan, in 1869 of American outlaw leader Bob Dalton, in 1883 of Greek doctor and inventor of the pap smear Georgios Papanikolaou, in 1907 of English novelist Daphne du Maurier, in 1912 of American actress Helen Craig, in 1914 of American blues musician L.C. Robinson, and of American boxer Joe Louis, in 1922 of American actress B. Arthur, who was brunette and 5'10" tall, but said she always wanted to be 5'2" and blonde, in 1923 of American jazz pianist Red Garland, in 1939 of American actor Harvey Keitel, in 1942 of English travel writer and novelist Bruce Chatwin, and of American soul singer Richard Brooks, in 1941 of American rock singer Ritchie Valens, in 1943 of American pop singer Mary Wells, in 1947 of English rock bassist Pete Watts, and 1961 of American NBA forward Dennis Rodman. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the ninth week of spring and to the 20th week of 2024.